Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Go. It's a little over a minute past the hour. A brand new week of broadcasting begins at the Horn, the first full week of April. Well, it's the only full week of April so far, 2017. It is the third day of April, 2017. April begins, March is done. And I am, let me announce right off the bat, I'm happy to say that in the 179th minute of the program Friday, we nudged the Norsky, licked the Lithuanian, and thank you very kindly to Frank for making that happen. Thank you so much, Frank. Thank you more than I can express. So that got done, and that's a big deal. Thank you very much indeed. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you'd like to run on over and click on chat room and pick yourself out a screen name and a password and jump into the rollicking, madcap, merry, multimedia, zany, wacky, wild extravaganza of a real-time variety that happens in The Horn chat room between the hours, or during the hours, that this program is live, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m., Eastern Daylight Time, otherwise known as 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and various times across the globe. I think there's a part of the Iran where it's like an hour and a half. So this program would probably start at like something 30 in Iran, but I doubt if the I doubt if the mullahs let this program through in Iran, so we really won't sweat that half an hour. 74 degrees today in Northern California, according to Sparky, our longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator who has folded space because it was 74 degrees in Northern California to become Man Cave. Yes, yes, indeed. Except for the fact that it was about that here, too. I would otherwise have to step in for Gerald, but I won't, because it was gray and kind of sloppy and rainy here. But it was warm and sloppy and rainy. And so here we are. April is the cruelest month, at least according to T.S. Eliot in The Wasteland. No, if you do pop into the chat room, you will be greeted by none other than Anatole and Jug of Punch and Labor Man and Squeaky and Steve from Georgistan and VT Blom and Will in Chicago, all just waiting to engage you in conversation during the course of the program. This is a listener-supported program. I'll just note that right off the bat. We have managed to stay on the air for in excess of 12 years. In excess of 13, if you count the bad old days of terrestrial broadcasting. We streamed that, too. We've stayed on the air with your help. We try to raise $200 every evening. And this evening is no different. I want to extend thanks to all of our subscribers from the beginning of the month forward, with a note. Bob pointed out to me, and he followed up, and I followed up, and it made perfectly good sense. I had mentioned the fact that we were kind of short on subscribers at the end of the month. And there's a reason for that. It's not like everybody decided to cancel their subscriptions. Yeah, people do that from time to time. But it had to do with PayPal. What happened is because there are only 28 days in the month of February, PayPal kicked everything to the first of the month that happened on the 29th, 30th, or 31st. So that explains that. And so because of that, I'm happy to announce that we managed to even cover the one evening that I was away and penalized myself for being away. That even got covered. So March was fully taken care of. Thank you, one and all. So, like I said, we'll try to raise $200 this evening in any form, in any shape that it comes in. One at 200, two at 100, four at 50, eight at 25, 16 at 1250, 32 at 6 1/4, 64 at $3 and 13 cents, because we'll round up that half penny and we'll put it toward the Maybach. The yacht got it last week. And before that, I think the Gulfstream 5 got it. And maybe the week before that, Agnes's Masseur got it. But this week, that half penny would go to the Maybach. Anyway, in any 10 at 20, 20 at 10, you know, whatever it takes, 220, 225, right? So that's where we are. A reminder as to the program this week. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Yeah, I know. As to the programs this week, this evening's program, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, will all be two-hour programs so that I can then shut down and sort of turn around and retool to be able to do the Malloy program from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So we'll have 2 hours of conversation radio, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then on Friday, and by the way, I certainly hope you will all join me for the Malloy program at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time tonight through Thursday. But then on Friday, we will return to the regular schedule, Friday on the Front Porch, unless, and this possibility does exist, unless it is necessary for me to be away, which may be the case because Agnes and I and the family may be needed to help out some with our eldest daughter and the grandbabies. Project stuff. Spring cleaning, that sort of thing. But I will, of course, try to provide ample lead time on that so that you will know and I will know. I am easily confused. So anyway, if you want to help out with keeping the program on the air, it's easily done. Just go to headonradionetwork.com, click on the Contribute tab. That's the PayPal interface if you would like to become a recurring monthly subscriber. We're still trying to get the first 100 out of the $410 a month subscribers that we need, that would be optimum under the circumstances. And just click that little box to make this a recurring monthly donation. And boom, boom, you're right there. And so it's that easy. If you don't want to do that, just put a number in. I was out today. I had to run a couple of errands and got to listen to National Petroleum Radio. And, you know, we've all wondered for a very long time who gets supported by George Soros, because I know the horn's not, and I know Malloy's not. I know Rick Smith isn't. Don't think Dr. Bill's cashing any great big George Soros money checks. Well, lo and behold, NPR is. So, you know, I was just pleased I was pleased to finally find out that some media organization actually does get money from George Soros. Mr. Soros, unless NPR is breaking you, you could probably get a lot more bang for your buck over here at the Horn. We run on the cheap, George. So you just click that little make this a recurring monthly donation box, put in about $10,000, and we're golden. Who knows what could happen with Soros money? If you prefer to use the United States Postal Service, Mr. Soros, or anybody else, it's the the address is the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. And so that takes care of all of the preliminaries, I do believe. And that means we can get down to business. Thank you, Arnold, pointing out, I can assure you Rick is running on fumes. Well, we kind of all do. Because, I mean, the left, ha! What left? Can't be bothered to support media that supports it. I mean, why buy the milk when you're getting the cow? Why buy the cow when you're getting the milk for free, right? Righto. But the third day of April just happens to fall on a Monday. And that's a big deal. Because, well, Mondays are special here. Every day is special here at the Horn. It's independent broadcasting. It's something approaching a miracle every time we're on the air. But Mondays are special here because more ants. Yes.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. You will not believe your ears. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. Right here, just a few simple steps away from the Carnival Midway, away from the shooting galleries and the darts and the balloons and the goldfish and the iguanas. You'll find it all right here at the Moran Monday tent, courtesy of the Horn. We've got them all for you here, friends and neighbors. We've got your birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, booger eaters. We've got your trumpanzees hanging from the ceiling fixtures, flinging poo at the plexiglass that is the only thing standing between you and them. That's right, it's all here on Moran Monday on the Horn. And believe you me, you don't want to miss it. That's right, you can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. Oh, indeed, indeed. For those who subscribe to the Horn, it works out to something a little less than 7 cents per hour of programming. 7 cents. You can't get anything for 7 cents, friends and neighbors, but you can get the Horn. 7 cents per hour of programming for a $10 a month subscriber. Now, a word of warning does attach as you approach the Moran Monday tent. Get a good grip on your wallets, your purses, your children, your cats, your dogs. That iguana that you won throwing ping-pong balls at goldfish bowls. Hang on tight to all of them, European messenger bags included, because the Morans, being conservative, can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, mercy sakes, it's the absolute gospel truth. You will, you will, you will. Because that's how Morans are. Where to begin with a Moran? Which Moran, in point of fact? There are myriad choices, myriad opportunities. It makes it rather a challenge. Let's see. Where shall we start? Okie dokie. How about we start in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with a Moran, by the name of Betty Jo Shelby. Might take a little bit just to jog your memory, but you remember Betty Jo Shelby. Maybe you'll remember Betty Jo Shelby a little better if I refer to her in her official capacity, Tulsa Police Department Police Officer Betty Jo Shelby. Does that help some? Betty Jo Shelby is the woman who decided to end the life of a man by the name of Terrence Crutcher. This happened last fall. Terrence Crutcher's hands were in the air. Video from multiple angles of his killing was seen by presumably millions of Americans. And this is one of those lawyer decisions, because this had to have been made in consultation with a criminal defense lawyer. If it wasn't, the criminal defense lawyer probably should go into another line of work. She was interviewed on CBS's 60 Minutes, and that interview aired last night. Why is she a Moran Monday nominee? Well, there are reasons. One in particular. Let's see if we can all pick it out together. Here's the clip.
My situation was no different than, I don't know whether I should say this, than a lynch mob coming after me. And I had those very threats. So
you've been
much
threatened?
Yes.
Death threats?
Yes. I had to leave my home. I had to grab up my family and leave and go to a safe place.
Poor baby. Hence the Moran Monday nomination. When you have used the immense powers and protections of your status as a police officer to blow away a man with his hands in the air and when people object to blowing said person away, it is probably not the best thing in the world for you to refer to yourself, white, female, privileged, protected by a cop union, getting a long, nice, lengthy paid vacation in advance of a man's laughter trial. It's just a matter of pronunciation. The distance between manslaughter and man's laughter is sometimes not very far indeed. No, it's best not to refer to yourself as a victim of a lynch mob coming after you.
Because you see, this history, this country has a long and shameful history with regard to lynching. And generally speaking, when a real lynch mob went after someone, that someone was a 99.9 times out of 100 a person of color, and the lynch mob was also successful. And I realize that's a sick usage of the word success, but by successful, I mean they achieved their nefarious, homicidal, disgusting, racist goals in that they would take their victim and torture them and kill them, but not before thoroughly terrorizing them and the entire community so as to maintain a pattern and practice of racism and oppression within a given society. It's probably not well to use the term victim and lynch mob in a place like Tulsa, which has its own history of real live lynch mobs, you know, burning part of the town right down to the ground. Because that's something that happened in the early part of the 20th century. I love how she's being interviewed there. And she, I don't know whether I should say this. Ma'am, hint, if you're being interviewed by 60 Minutes and part of your interior monologue gets loose and you say, I don't know if you should say this, please let your ego, your superego, something, somebody, somewhere, make you not say it. Because for someone who pulled the trigger and ended the life of an individual who had done nothing worthy of the death penalty, for the person who pulled the trigger and did the killing to then say that she was a victim of a lynch mob is more than a little bit infuriating and a whole lot disgusting. Let's see. Let's compare Betty Jo Shelby with a victim of a lynch mob. Betty Jo Shelby is living a happy, contented, well-paid, white, female, privileged life. Still. Emmett Till, as we now know, by virtue of the words of the woman whom he was accused of having accosted down there in Miss Mississippi. Emmett Till was dragged from his home, beaten unrecognizable, stomped, tortured, wrapped in the chains from the fan of a cotton gin, and his body, after he had been thoroughly killed, dumped in the Pearl River. Lynching. Once upon a time, white folks would make postcards of lynchings with the victim thereof, his burnt body hanging from a tree limb, featured on the postcard, and lots of happy, smiling white faces around the said victim. As mentioned with Tulsa and any number of other places in the United States, sometimes lynchings took the form of attacks that burnt down entire communities. Oddly enough, Betty Jo Shelby has not had her community burnt down. She has not been beaten to a state of unrecognizability. She's not been tormented nor tortured. She has simply been the subject of protests over the fact that by all the video accounts that are available to be watched, she blew a black guy away for the unstated but very real crime that still exists in the new 90 states of America.
The greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe. Amen. Under God.
Of being black. And, of course, Betty Jo Shelby hauled out the typical tiresome, often specious cop excuse that her extrajudicial elimination of Terrence Crutcher was a justified action. She was justified. Even though it doesn't show up anywhere on any of the video, she claims that he made a sudden move. Now, you can go back. You can use any a number of search engines. And you can go and watch every angle of the Terrence Crutcher video. If you see any move that looks sudden to you, I'd be interested to hear from you. But according to Betty Jo Crutcher, who was a significant distance, Betty Jo Shelby, Terrence Crutcher, who was a significant distance away from her, well, you know, he was a big black guy, and, you know, sometimes reality telescopes. And he may have been 15 feet away from her, but to her, it felt like he was right up in her face. And she had to shoot. She had to shoot. Now, why would you go to 60 Minutes with this? Well, maybe to make it harder to get a jury. But this is one of those. She's not, okay, let's understand. She's not going to be convicted. She's not going to be convicted of manslaughter. She's going to walk away, and she will go down in history as the victim. Not the dead guy laying in the road, the dead black guy laying in the road who has already been smeared and scandalized in the press. But she, Betty Jo Shelby, not Terrence Crutcher, will be the victim. And did you ever notice that these people say, "Oh, I've had death threats." You got any recordings? Oh, no. Got any copies of any emails? No. Got any ugly tweets? No. But I've had death threats. I've thought about having death threats. Well, I'll tell you what, death threat. I mean, that's the very same thing as being blown away in an extrajudicial killing. Poor little pumpkin. Larry with a note says, she'll get a month of house arrest tops. In a just world here, and the cops in the Rodney King case would have had to do time in mainstream population prison. Poor, this is not a critique. I just,
I'm kind of iffy about the word bitch. Okay, because it's gendered. Can we replace something like that with asshole? For instance, can I say instead, this poor asshole thinks she has issues now. Let's see her in a federal pen and let her listen to toothbrushes scraping on the walls as she wonders if those shanks will be coming at her in the yard. The subject gets me more enraged than that pathetic display the Oregon Yucks put on this past Saturday night. Larry is still hurting, by the way. She should be imprisoned for that long, stupid-ass, phony, dramatic pause she gave after saying, "I don't know if I should say this. I'm ready for my close-up, Max." Disgusting, lame acting job, Larry says. And Larry responds, "Yes, we can use that word, Bob. I hate the word, too. I just get enraged. Good call, bro." Well, thank you for being understanding, Larry. You know, asshole covers a lot of ground. It really does. And I think if you are so white and so privileged that you can say, "Mr. DeMille, I feel just like I've been pursued by a lynch mob." You know, I really do. I think we can use asshole for that. You asshole! In fact, I think it works a lot better than a gender-based insult. Meanwhile, Steve in New York, a member of the fraternity of Steve, says, "I agree that word is loaded. However, I think Professor Spicoli might properly weigh in more appropriately, gender notwithstanding." Oh, Professor Spicoli? Well, of course.
You dick!
Mm-hmm. But I don't want to. I don't want to get into a gender thing. But that's just so freighted. Would that clip be as enjoyable if that was Professor Spicoli saying, "You asshole"? You know, really aesthetically, I think it would have as much force. I think it would every bit as strong. Although, you know, two monosyllables, right, I get it. I understand, sure. But I started seeing that over the weekend and I thought, Moran. No, really, Moran. Not kidding, Moran. James with a trenchant observation, subject line paranoia. "Sometimes when your community is known to have committed these kind of crimes, you worry. It's not because it's likely. It's not because they have a history. It's that you have it coming." Mm-hmm. Which is, of course, the history of white oppression in the South, among other places. But it's not just the South. How about the NYPD? Once again, caught on video being assholes. Associate Professor of Sociology at Brooklyn College, Alex Vital, got video with his pocket computer, cell phone. There were some children on the corner of Bedford Avenue and Campus Road in Brooklyn. The kids were walking down the streets of the city. I mean, it's not like they were Bugs Bunny, you know, "She's the daughter of Rosie O'Grady. Hey, look, I'm dancing." You know, that's where my hair grows in Flatbush. They're just walking down the street. Snow on the ground. One of the kids picks up some snow.
Let's check out the audio, shall we? There goes a bus. Another day in Brooklyn. Kids on the corner, laughing, being kids. Here comes another bus. Loud bus. In the business, we call that Nat Salmon. Just walking along the sidewalk, snow piled up along the way. Look, it's some kids. Some black kids.
You wanna act like it?
By the way, let me just point out that the kids are students. They're wearing backpacks. They're walking home from school. And the NYPD are walking behind them, swinging batons, you know, just in case they might need to crack the skulls of these children. Yeah. Yeah. What are you going to do about it? That's the cop, by the way. What are you going to do about it? 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 And all the kid has said at this point is, well, you know, you don't have to be that way. What are you going to do about it, eh? What are you going to do about it? Do something about it. In other words, encouraging the child to somehow further inflame the passions of the heavily armed police officer? Yes? Yes. That last comment, did you hear that? You want to ride the lightning? Huh? That's a colloquialism for being tased. You might be interested to know, by the way, that tasing children violates New York Police Department guidelines for how the police are to interact with children. Do you want to ride the lightning, eh? What are you going to do about it? Classy. Stay classy, NYPD. Morans. Lots and lots of morans. Under the subject line, Pigs in the Wallow, Steve, another member of the fraternity of Steve, says, I don't suppose she's at all grateful, Betty Jo Shelby, for the fact that looks don't kill, which brings me to this. retained or otherwise, police who abuse their authority to this degree should be permanently disarmed or given the option to take a hike. I, for one, would like to see her take that hike to a maximum security facility in the Oklahoma State Penal System. But I guess I'm just sort of mean that way. Right? Oh, and this is sort of Moran-ish. Can we set? Today was an auspicious for the Trump regime. The White House released the official photographic portrait of first stripper Melania Trump. She may be seen in the portrait in sort of somewhat soft focus with a hard focus on the 25-carat diamond ring that resides on her left-hand ring finger. Took a 25-carat diamond ring to get her engaged to Donald, I guess. Little hands, big diamonds. And the White House claims that the photograph was taken of her in her new residence at the White House. New residence. She has not moved in. She is not a resident of the White House. Accompanying the press release was a statement from Malaria, in which she said, "I am honored to serve in role of First Lady and look forward to working on behalf of American people over the coming years." I think they got their word order wrong. "I'm looking forward to working over the American people in coming years." Because she damn sure is. Comrade Kumquat spent another weekend playing golf. This weekend, he will be hosting the Chinese premier, Xi Jinping, down at that soon-to-be-underwater, thanks to the climate change that's a Chinese hoax, dump Mar-a-Lago. Which raises the question, how much will Donald Trump be paid by the People's Republic of China for the massive entourage that will follow the premier of a country that is orders of magnitude bigger than us to stay there? How much is he sticking China for the privilege of staying at his tacky-ass, bedbug-infested dump? Because, you know, I this is a protocol thing whose answer I don't necessarily know. When a foreign dignitary visits the United States, we are said to be hosting the said dignitary. Does that mean we pay for upkeep? Does that mean we put them up? Room and board, that kind of thing? Room service? Those massage chairs and hot tubs and so forth? And so if that is the case, when Mar-a-Lago sticks them for the bill, or will Mar-a-Lago stick the United States for the bill? Doesn't really matter. Trump gets paid. Well, it does kind of matter. Because there's that whole emoluments clause thingy. God help him. If Pooty Poot ever releases the video of him rubbing emoluments all over those Muscovite hookers. Let me just say it. Slippery, those emoluments, as we have seen since January 20th. Will Jared... Why is it every time I say Jared, and even though it's the Trump regime, I think of a pudgy pedophile with a Subway sandwich in his hand? I don't think that's entirely my mind. I think that's, you know, it's just a sort of a natural merger taking place. It's just the, don't blame me, blame the universe. Jared, I don't know if he's going to be back in time. Because Z and the Tangerine Trotsky, they'll be engaged in high-level conversations Thursday and Friday. But right now, Jared is over fixing Iraq. You know, this just gets sillier by the moment. Jared Kushner, who was a bank account admission to Harvard, who never could have gotten into Harvard on his grades or his achievements, but got in on his daddy's wealth, and therein did not in any wise distinguish himself in any other way except being, you know, an asshole. Jared has been handed, this is Jared's portfolio in the White House, Mexico, China, now Iraq, Russia. For a guy who probably can't work the golf tee triangle puzzle that sits on the table at a freaking Cracker Barrel. You know, the one that says if you leave four T's, you're just plumb ignorant. But according to published reports, Jared, according to Reuters, is expected to be a bigly impact on the talks. No, really. Watch this space. So we got that to look forward to. I can't wait. If the meeting in the White House today between the Clementine Caligula and President El-Sisi of Egypt was any indication, the one with Xi Jinping should be a real Lulu. The president met with Al-Sisi
earlier today in the Oval Office. It was another one of those moments where he sits sort of hunched over like he's twooping. And President El-Sisi sits there smiling like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush. All kinds of human rights problems there in Egypt and whatnot. Not that human rights is of any sort of concern to this administration, but, well, you know how that goes. And this brief exchange transpired. Hockey puck. Sometimes the magic works. Sometimes it doesn't. Let's try it the other way. Sheesh. Be there in a minute. We'll try it this way instead. Will it? Won't it? All right, so we're going to have all kinds of fun this evening. Ah, come on. I think this is a conspiracy. How absolutely weird. Oh, by the way, back to China for a minute. You remember how Trump told his knuckle-breathing, mouth-walking followers that he would, on day one, declare China to be a currency manipulator?
It's great to be with the president of Egypt. And I will tell you, President El-Sisi has been somebody that's been very close to me from the first time I met him. I met during the campaign,
yes.
And at that point there were two of us, and we both met, and hopefully you liked me a lot more, but it was a very long, it was supposed to be just a quick, brief meeting, and we were with each other for a long period of time. We agree on so many things. I just want to let everybody know, in case there was any doubt, that we are very much behind President El-Sisi. He's done a fantastic job in a very difficult situation. We are very much behind Egypt and the people of Egypt.
Got that?
We're not so behind the people who are interested in things like human rights. No, not really. Because, well, that they're so pesky sometimes. Naturally, that exchange. I hope you like me. Reminded me of something, and I sincerely hope I can find it here. The conversation between the President of the United States and Dr. Strangelove and the Premier of the Soviet Union. You caught that part about, I hope you like me, right? Well, if you recall in Dr. Strangelove, the Soviet premier is a little bit drunk when they get him on the phone. A little bit dotty. And they have to move rather gently around him. Rest assured, Peter Sellers playing the President of the United States is not the person I am comparing with Tangerine Tiberius.
Hello? Hello, Dimitri. Listen, I can't hear too well. Do you suppose you could turn the music down just a little? Oh, that's much better. Yes. Fine, I can hear you now, Dimitri. Clear and plain and coming through fine. I'm coming through fine too, eh? Good, then. Well, then, as you say, we're both coming through fine. Good. Well, it's good that you're fine, and I'm fine. I agree with you. It's great to be fine. Now then, Dimitri, you know how we've always talked about the possibility of something going wrong with the bomb. The bomb, Dimitri. The hydrogen bomb. Well, now, what happened is one of our base commanders, he had a sort of, well, he went a little funny in the head. You know, just a little funny.
Funny.
And he went and did a silly thing. Well, I'll tell you what he did. He ordered his planes to attack your country. Well, let me finish, Dimitri. Let me finish, Dimitri. Well, listen, how do you think I feel about it? Can you imagine how I feel about it, Dimitri? Why do you think I'm calling you? Just to say hello? Of course I like to speak to you.
There, this part, right here. If it's Trump on the end of the line, I hope you like me. And then he'll start talking about his margin of victory.
Of course I like to say hello. Not now, but any time, Dimitri. I'm just calling up to tell you something terrible has happened. It's a friendly call. Of course it's a friendly call. Listen, if it wasn't friendly, you probably wouldn't have even got it.
Yeah. Of course I like to say hello. And Al-Sisi sitting there, nodding and smiling. Yeah, oh, I like you. I like you real good. Just kind of doesn't make for real sense of ease. Meanwhile, a little bit north of Egypt, our partners in peace, the Israelis, and Bibi off the rails Netanyahu, must have really loved that photo op. What is he talking about? What good friends they are. We're the good friends! We are! This is all working out so delightfully. Kind of reminds me of the end of Dr. Strangelove with the bombs going off and Vera Lynn singing We'll Meet Again Some Sunny Day. Yeah. But at least I'm not the only one who finds it a little bit disconcerting that a C student, no achievements, no nothing about nowhere, real estate scion grifter is in charge of. I mean, where's Rexxon Tillerson in all of this? Right. Take it away, Jake Tapper.
Need Supreme Court. Something that doesn't need Senate confirmation is people who work at the White House, and among them Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, absolutely, who has been dispatched to Iraq, where he met earlier today with the Iraqi Prime Minister Al-Abadi. He's also in charge of brokering Mideast peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. No big deal. That shouldn't take long at all. He's also expected to have a major role in meetings with the Chinese president. Also very simple, shouldn't be complicated. He's also reinventing the entire U.S.
government yeah,
under the Office of American Innovation. So apparently,
don't forget Canada, Mexico. And
so Jared
sure
Kushner's in charge
else.
Of the world, apparently.
Yeah, that's right.
But there are people who are saying, what happened to the Secretary of State?
So Jared Kushner is 36 years old. He has no formal diplomatic training or government experience, and he's been handed like every major portfolio in the world, right?
Handed or is he grabbing them? I mean,
well, no. Look, President. Look, nobody grabs anything without President Trump being okay and signing off on it, and he is okay.
Yeah. President. Yeah, Trump is the only one who gets to do the grabbing around there. By the right. Mm-hmm. So. Well, yeah.
Okay with this. And so there are a couple of questions. If you're Rex Tillerson, how do you feel about this? Is this a deliberate kind of dual-track diplomacy, which gives Trump some negotiating room, or is Rex Tillerson kind of getting shunted off to the side? And I'll say this by way of precedent. Remember when Obama was president and he had Joe Biden go snatch up all the really cool portfolios that Hillary Clinton would have wanted to do, and then she was like, doing women's issues and stuff in Africa. So there's, it's not like it's never happened before, but it's quite dramatic how many areas, and it's not just diplomacy, it's like diplomacy plus kind of economic slash bureaucratic
stuff. It is tough to imagine, though, in an alternative universe, Chelsea Clinton having the portfolio, Mark Mizvinsky, her husband, having this portfolio. And it does, and I do feel like there would be a lot of people, a lot of Republicans.
Yeah, it only works when the other.
It
only works when the same parties right. in control of Congress.
The thing that is amazing to me, though, is I feel like a month ago we were. You could have subbed in not those specific issues, but like is Steve Bannon running everything in the White House? I mean, I think this is the situation that Trump has created. I don't know if he's managing it or not, but he created, when you put these four people, of which Kushner, Bannon, Kellyanne Conway, and Reince Priebus, that quartet. All of with different titles, but diffuse responsibilities and not clear lines of who does what.
It is, as was described in that story from Axios that I mentioned on Friday night, Trump's theory of organized chaos, in which he alone can save us. And we're not even in, we won't be at the 100th day until the end of April. Damn. Hang on tight. Well, let's take a break. We've only got an hour of conversation before us. So let's make the best of it. You know how to reach the program, right? 304-663-4676. 304-663-HORN. That's the stress line. Works for some, not for others. Don't know why. 304-574-8178. That works generally. Caveats of last week notwithstanding. And Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet. Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. That's how that works. And see what's on your mind. Have you yourself identified any morons over the course of over the course of the weekend? They usually stack up like cordwood. Oh, okay. A correction coming from Ron and Raleigh. FYI, the Chinese premier's name is pronounced Xi, not Z. I never quite know what to do with that X. I know it's an SH in, you know, naught, but apart from the... I mean, even English isn't particularly good with an X. Xerox? Really? Xavier? Of course, with Xavier... where I grew up, that was pronounced Xavier. Right. Courtesy of Keith. Ah, he went to Jared. This is the biggest joke of an administration I have ever seen. Wait a minute. Yeah, that's where he went to Jared. Maybe that's where... the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini picked up his 25-carat rock for malaria. And look, I mean, the rock's in the picture. You want to see it, go see it. I don't care. I'm just, at this point in time, given what we're facing for the next 3 years and 290 days or so, I'm just glad she wore clothes. Usually when photographers show up, malaria takes off all her clothes. That's her history. That's her footnote. That's her asterisk in American presidential history. Only first lady ever to remove her clothing in exchange for money. Now, you don't have to, that's all you got to say. Because that statement is absolutely, undeniably true. Yeah. And I'm still just kind of bumfuzzled by that. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine the national media conniption? If Bill Clinton had become president of the United States and his wife had had a prior history of disrobing in exchange for money, for art photographs, for European skin mags. Mm-hmm. How about Lady Bird Johnson? Pat Nixon? Betty Ford? Ms. Rosalynn? Nancy! Well, there was a history there, but there was no money changing hands. But the country would have been... Laura Bush! The country would have been scandalized. You wouldn't have been able to get the snuffle-up-a-guy Sam, back in the day, Sam Donaldson... Huntley, Brinkley,
Cronkite, Rather, Frank, ABC News. They wouldn't have been able to shut up about it. Holy shit! The first lady took her clothes off for money. Now it's just, ho-hum, I mean, you know, Trump. Michelle Obama wore a dress without sleeves. And the right wing beshat itself. Called her an ape. Called her Michael Obama. But this Balkan gender pop, gender. Has an entire portfolio of naked photos of herself and, you know, Wurst Blitzers. I was only hoping I could see some. Truthfully, I have some of them, had some of them printed as 8x10s that I keep under my mattress. There really is a lowered bar for anything that Donald Trump imposes upon the United States. Can you imagine if Billy Carter had been put in charge of Iranian negotiations? Or asked to fast-track discussions with Leonid Brezhnev. Holy mackerel. But melanoma can strip. And Jared can give the Iraqis a proper talking to. And that's okay. Kitty in Boston with a reminder for us all about Laura Bush. Laura killed a guy with her car and no one cared, so I think nudes would have been okay. God! Meanwhile, my having said that there's something about hearing Jared Kushner's name that makes me think of a perv at Subway. Under the subject line, meet the man, M-E-A-T. Hi, yeah, meet the man. Steve says, same here, Bob. And you know why Jared's smiling? Italian meatball with extra mayonnaise. Yum! Regards, Steve. In China. Steve in New York, on the other hand, says, policy disagreements notwithstanding, the Obama's class and grace really spoiled us for 8 years.
God damn it, she wore a dress without sleeves. All that strumpet.
And yes, had Lady Bird Johnson had a history of taking her clothes off for money. John Chancellor probably would have spontaneously combusted on the air before our very eyes. All right. We really are going to take a break. Only about 45 minutes left in the program if you want to participate or engage in conversation. Jump in. I mentioned the lines a minute ago.
Well, that's true, too. David in South Carolina, Stan, who I presume is grieving the loss by his beloved Gamecocks, who fought nobly to the very end, I must say. David in South Carolina, Stan, says mocking a disabled person would have been the end for either Clinton or President Barack Obama. That's that lowered orange privilege bar now, isn't it? This is listener-supported conversation radio. We got $197 to go. Thanks, Larry. We got $197 to go in fundraising for the evening. So hopefully that'll happen. We'll be back. I'll be back. Let's all be back. I'm Bob.
Clothes, so let's loosen up with a playful tease, like all lovers did through the centuries. Your clothes get in the way. If a crazy dress hides your true desire, fold it nice and slow, throw it on the fire.
We're just following ancient history. If I strip on you, will you strip on me? We're just following ancient history. If I strip on you, will you strip on me?
Uh-huh. We don't need to see what the butler saw, or a mirrored room with a mirrored floor, all the sneaky looks gazing down on you are no substitute for a rendezvous.
Well, that little bumper seemed to be roundly appreciated. Adam Ant and Strip. That may be, I don't know, that may become Malaria Trump's theme song. Although along the way, and yeah, there's one of these. Along the way, I had to pass out the cowbell for Hoghead, who said, "I believe we can all be grateful Barbara Bush didn't pose nude. Just saying." And I'm just agreeing. And of course, the nation would have been scandalized and perhaps nauseated by that. And I can't plead anything except the desperate attempt of my own brain to block out that image that kept me from mentioning her in the first place. Yeah. Okay, 21 minutes past the hour. Let's run over and see who's on the line. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello?
Bob.
Sandra.
Hey.
What's up?
You know, trying to catch a ride on some spaceship, you know. Hoping to get the fuck out of here.
Ain't but enough no, of them.
You know, back to reality. But no, I just, you know, I'm sort of in a bit of a shock with, you know, the Democrats seem to have shaken off their battered wives syndrome for a second here. So,
oh, yeah, with Gorsuch?
Three cheers for them, yeah, because, you know, that situation is completely untenable. It's like, go ahead and do the nuke thing anyway. You know, it's let's just go ahead and get it over with. But, you know, then we can look at the legitimacy just sort of slip away from that fucking august institution called the Supreme Court. Because if it's just going to be... you know, just a partisan hack shop that is only for corporations and wealthy donors of the GOP, then I think that Roberts might be feeling a bit nervous right now. I don't particularly see this as a very good thing for that institution, because unless they get their own army, people are going to start not going along with it. I think the situation is interesting, to say the least, but...
Well, it is, and
they're not doing them.
Well, I was merely going to point out that, and I think you and I have discussed this long ago. The augusticity, is that a word?
Yeah, it's a good one.
of the Supreme Court is largely a self-anointed one, because if you look at the history of, I mean, you know, that not every decision that comes before the Supreme Court is momentous. But in the long run, yeah. they are at best batting 500 on momentous decisions, and maybe not even hitting for average, because they get a lot. It seems over the course of the tenure of the nation and the court, they've gotten a shitload more wrong than they got right.
Well, no, and also they're susceptible to public pressure too, because. You know, Roberts would have destroyed the ACA if it wasn't for the public pressure. I mean, what he did was bad enough, but I think they're just politicians in robes at this point. And this scene that they're trying to put on now is absolutely horrific. I mean, I guess I'm like, who cares about two wrongs, don't make a right, and all that bullshit that the media is trying to shovel on top of the Democrats? This man is... an outrage if you're a person, from what I can tell.
Well, look at who raised him. Look at his mama.
No, she was EPA under Reagan. Yeah.
And was so nasty that she got herself held in contempt of Congress.
Right.
So,
yeah, well, at any rate, I just think that this is an awesome move for the Dems. And, you know, turtleneck and just go ahead. But, I'm not feeling the framing of somehow this is on the Democrats. It's like, I have two words, Merrick Garland. What happened to that?
Gorsuch was sitting on a skeleton in that chair during the hearings. And the skeleton belonged to Merrick Garland.
Well, no, and it's just sort of outrageous that the Republicans can even speak to anything about this. I just look, I'm like, are you kidding me? And yet the corporate media is perfectly happy to go along with their fucking lies and made up narratives. But at any rate, somehow Schumer got enough of his caucus to go along with this. So great. That's all. I don't have anything bad to say about the Dems for once, at least for this particular situation.
Well, the strategy seems sound because anybody who believes that if the Democrats let Gorsuch get through,
oh, I know,
and then let's say Ruth Bader Ginsburg or Breyer,
yes,
checks out, anybody who,
right,
thinks that the most wild-eyed maniac the Heritage Foundation can come up with wouldn't be the nominee?
Yeah, I know. I mean, that whole argument was just absurd. It's like, well, you know, I think we've been here and so have all those Dems. So just hearing it is just kind of laughable. It's like, no, you know, you guys play fast and loose with everything and they do exactly what they want. And, you know, it's about time that the Democrats, they stepped out of the way for the health care debacle. So, you know, somewhat, I don't know if it's because of the pushback from the base or what, but, you know, they seem to be trying to look like an opposition party.
Right. But in many ways, Sandra, I think the more, well, not more important, but the significant angle to this is the for-profit media out there muling and gaggling along about how this is about how somehow it's the Democrats who aren't playing fair.
Well, no, and it's just too much. And I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. And all those Democrats need to say, you know, is Merrick Garland. I mean, the Obama was a sitting president and they kept his pick. And to me, that's enough of a reason. I think that if they're going to destroy the rules and whatnot for the Senate, then that's just what happens. That's what happened, and we're on a slope to completely get rid of the filibuster, which, you know, I don't see that as necessarily a bad thing in the long run. I don't know, you know?
Well, and this is the other problem that always attends presidential nominees, whether they be cabinet or third assistant deputy, whatever, or Supreme Court nominees. It's not like one strike and you're out. He gets to nominate a new asshole.
Well, exactly. No, I mean, it's, he doesn't, Mitch McConnell, he don't have to do the nuclear. He can just get a different nominee, but that doesn't seem to be, you know, that's not discussed.
Right. But I guess my qualification on all of this, Sandra, is that it's not like the next nominee wouldn't also be an asshole.
Well, no, but yes. And so that's what I mean. There is no reason for the Democrats not to be doing what they're doing. This is the baseline of it all. And I have to say, I'm pleasantly surprised. That's all.
With everybody except Heidi Heitkamp and Joe Manchin.
Well, no, but that's just a given. I don't, those people, yeah, it's whatever. But when Homegirl from Missouri came out, I thought, oh, okay, I guess it's on, you know.
And DiFi had to keep us all waiting in suspense, but she jumped right off the fence this morning.
No, but she got, I mean, that office got bombarded, trust and believe that. You know? I mean, because California is, as you know, they're like, no, we ain't, you know, going back to the 7th century with this asshole. So, you know, expect things to happen in California. I mean, there's a good chance that, you know, they may try to do some form of single payer or some such stuff here, too. So,
Well, if they could work it out to do it in concert with like Washington and Oregon, it might be, you know, interstate compact kind of thing. It might be big enough to work. Hell, I mean, yeah, California, no, I mean, being California, it's big enough to work.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, there is some, but the problem is with the Trump administration, it's just, they're so bad. I mean, badly, it's just a shit show there. And I don't really know if I see, it's like a Forrest Gump with this Jared person. I'm like, what in the fuck?
All
right.
Yeah, he's everywhere. Did you see the picture of him sitting there talking with the Iraqi prime minister?
Looking like he was going to a country club.
Yeah.
How was that?
And I mean, they said he was there at the invitation of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff or whatever.
No, yeah, please.
How's that work? I mean, this career military officer just wakes up one morning and says, I'm headed to Baghdad, and you know what I really need? I need Jared.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's like, what the hell? I mean, he's some sort of failed, you know, weekly newspaper guy, you know, just some trust fund baby, you know, who's working for another trust fund baby. I mean, it's just, thank you, white people. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Say it twice for all I care.
You know, but at any rate, this is just, and, you know, I'm getting nervous because of a real crisis that may happen or is happening. And, you know, what are we going to do?
Well, you know? which real crisis are you talking about? I mean, pick
one.
Well,
the North Korean stuff looks like it's heating up.
Yeah, that's fun. Shit could get real in a real hurry in the Straits of Hormuz. What with the doings of us and Saudi Arabia and Iran and with Yemen, I mean proxy fights never spill over their borders or anything, do they?
Yeah, Mad Dog Matt, you know, who's been wanting to have some sort of engagement with Iran. So that's a bit of a worry right there. But, no, you know, Donald Trump is white supremacy, you know, in action. Because what is white supremacy? It's just endless opportunity for mediocre white men. And he's exhibit A, man.
Well, without a doubt. And, you know, you look at the wider world, Sandra. I know that. You've got to just be, you had to just be sitting there, I don't know, giggling, screaming, mouth hanging open, catching flies, who knows what. Apparently, this one member of parliament in the UK wants to go to war with Spain over Gibraltar. Did you catch that?
Oh, no. I was like teasing my girl. I said, you guys going to war with Spain? What's happening? I just sent that message today because I'm like, you know, what's going on in the sort of fervid sort of empire, you know, having a wank about empire Tory party? I mean, they think that if they leave Europe, they're going to get the empire back. I'm confused.
Right. Because India is just going to run the national flag down and run the Union Jack right back up. And yeah.
Not only that, but England, you know, they're looking like they're going to be a shit show, a tax haven, and low wages, and a brand new American style healthcare system. So, ooh, it's going to be good over there.
Oh, they are gonna love them some American style healthcare.
I know. I was like, ooh, that's going to be good. You're going to love it. Anyway, I mean, I shouldn't be so cavalier because, you know, it really is quite sad what's going to be going on there.
Well, it is, and the thing is, when you look at the demographics for the people who voted for Brexit, bunch of them ain't going to be around for another 10 years or so. And so there's a whole lot of young people that are going to pay the piper for people who by then will be dead's decision.
Well, no. Or you just quickly go to, you know, try to get your ass in Scotland, because Sturgeon, she's just like,
well, we're going to have another referendum because we're not going down the drain with you. So, you know, look out for that. I think that Ireland has a chance to unify, if you can even imagine that shit. So it's like 1490 or something, you know, revisited, or it could go back to Thomas Hobbes period, you know. So it's going to be good times.
Yeah, I love the fact that they've come up with this word devolution instead of disunion.
Oh, I know.
Because that's what it is. It's disunion.
There was a lot of blood spilled to create the United Kingdom. And it's just like, okay, well, okay. We'll just all go our separate ways. I mean,
it's
outrageous.
I just happened to tune in and caught Question Time when Theresa May was talking about, her bill of divorce that she had served on the EU earlier in the day.
Well, it's Theresa Mayhem.
Yes, Theresa Mayhem. I noticed that.
Theresa Maybe is another one that I like.
But the thing is, Angela Merkel got hold of that letter and said, nine!
Oh, you mean the leader of the free world?
Yes, the leader of the free world.
Yeah. I mean, you notice how cozy he was with that horrific, horrible dictator, and how he was with Fraulein Merkel?
Not so much.
Yeah, and she looked really bemused. I have to give it to her. That whole thing made me laugh, and she was just like, dude, the way he was looking at him, God, you're an idiot. So that was
no,
nice.
She had that look on her face. I have not seen anything this weird since I went to the art theater in Berlin. The ones with the black turtleneck people, you know.
No, but, and you know, she could tell Trump all about Putin. She speaks fluent Russian. She's an East German. Trust me. She could tell Trump a whole bunch about his lover, but he ain't going to listen.
Well, he has no incentive to. I mean, I think he knows damned well he best not.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, though, I don't know about you, but that healthcare debacle was so fucking funny. Sorry, did you enjoy that as much as I did?
I was busy being an uninsured person, kind of sweating some things out, but. No, it's always fun to watch to watch the Republicans fall apart, and now he's gone to war. We talked about this some last Friday, Sandra. He's gone to war with the Freedom Caucus, and it just so happens that if you add the Freedom Caucus to the Democratic minority, you get enough people to get a discharge petition of a bill of impeachment to the floor to be voted on, and they got the numbers to win.
Oh wow! Well.
I mean,
like I said,
if I was Nancy Pelosi, I'd be sending roses to Justin Amash.
Yeah, you know, and Jordan, get with him, too. Get with that fool. But, I just think that if they think that the tax stuff is going to be easy, that's going to be equally as precarious, as far as I can tell, especially when you're sitting at, 37%?
Yeah. Yeah, the only people happy with him are the Trumpanzees who supported him in the primaries.
Well, no, I don't really think that Americans in general would be like, oh, goody, goody, we're going to cut taxes for the rich again. You see what I'm saying? I think more Americans have cottoned on to that bullshit. So I'm not too sure how easy that is going to be for them either.
So you don't think the American people will fall for another $300 check like they did with W?
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that it's just, yeah, I mean, give it to Occupy. They at least did that. You know, I think people are well aware of the disparities that are happening, I think. Although, I'm curious about how, you know, I didn't realize that the opiate thing was so. I didn't know all these white people were so strung out, man. It sounds bad.
Well, I ran across that article earlier today. As far as the opiate thing is concerned, there's a lot of people who are beginning to point out that we got real serious about the opiate crisis, and by extension, heroin, just as quick as it started affecting white folks.
Well, yeah, and especially white men, you know, because the poor white man is so put upon and boo-hoo-hoo, and it's just kind of like, are you kidding? You know, really, it is quite, it's interesting as a person of color to look at it. It's like, oh, okay. So now you have care and concern. But you can fill up some prisons, though. Oh, wait, you won't because it's all white. You know, so it's so disgusting. I mean, I'm not wishing, you know, people to be drug addicted, but the outpouring and the concern is just, it's, you know, it's hard to kind of, yeah. I have to say, yeah, I'm a bit bitter because I find the sort of concern quite disgusting because other communities are also suffering with whatever, and it's never an issue, you know?
Well, I've got this one article in front of me right now from NewJersey.com. Interesting statistic. In 2015, it was reported that 90% of all opioid and heroin users who died of related causes were white, and 8% were black. Anyone who believes that race is not the most important factor driving the new heroin treatment push is lying to himself. And Michael Eric Dyson went on, is quoted in the story as saying, white brothers and sisters have been medicalized while black and brown people have been criminalized. And that's the damn truth.
Well, yeah, that's one. And also, though, the other thing that came out is, you know, it's also equally sick. But you know that as a black person, if I pop up in an emergency room, all of a sudden, oh, no, you know, Negroes have a high tolerance. It's for pain. So, you know, they don't give black people the kind of pain relief that, and they said that, you know, part of that has like been, could have be a bit of a break for people of color because they weren't being prescribed.
No, they're just rolling on the floor in agony. You know? And that, yeah, that, Sandra, has been transferred over onto the hillbilly now. You can, I mean, I have personal experience with this. You can go to an emergency room if you're a white hillbilly and be bent double in pain now, and if you so much as say, no, seriously, fire me up, they look, well, do you have an opioid problem, sir? Sir, we can't do that. We don't use opioids for chronic pain, sir. And so hillbilly can't get pain meds now.
Well, see, no, but
and so I mean, so we're learning a little bit. We're living the other side of the coin, a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, it's insanity though, because you know, so now everyone has to just live in pain, you know, do their three jobs, and yeah, it's too much.
Well, Sandra, not everybody. You know, if Jared gets a hangnail, I'm sure somebody's going to be standing there right next to him with a damn Vicodin because, you know, he can be trusted not to become addicted.
Oh, please. Yeah, that guy. I don't, you know, I mean, it's almost, if it wasn't so serious, it would be like a comedy because someone read a list of all the different jobs that this dude is supposed to be doing. I mean, he's reorientating the whole U.S. government in some office of, I don't know what it's called.
It's the Office of Reinventing America or something. But remember, Sandra, remember when they offered the vice presidency to John Kasich of Ohio and said, no, seriously, you can do all the president stuff. He just wants to be seen as president.
He just wants to be in the pictures and stuff.
You can do all the policy wonk stuff. So, you know, Kasich said, oh, hell no. And now that he's in there, he's casting, you know, I think somebody in his inner circle has figured out that Mike Pence is not up to the job because Mike Pence is a boob too.
Well, not only that, but wasn't Mike Pence, you know, Paul Manafort's pick, you know, and that's, isn't he secret agent from the Kremlin?
Well, there's that.
Anyway, it, you know, it's a hot mess, and I just wonder if he's not going to keel over before 2020.
He doesn't look good, Sandra.
You know what I'm saying?
Have you? I saw a video of him walking from Marine One back to the White House or whatever, and yeah. and he's shambling. Okay. I mean, he just kind of had this lumbering "oh fuck" kind of gait to him that made you think, you know, he's not. And then, you know, we were talking about Theresa May a minute ago. He is said to be terrified of slopes, you know, grades. And so that's why you get that bizarre moment walking down a gentle slope where he suddenly grabs Theresa May's hand.
Oh, no, I didn't, you know, because I really am not, I just can't. So I miss all that. That's hilarious, really?
Yeah. And you know, the miracle moment there, you know, with the, huh, what, where am I? It's so frustrating because there is a mechanism for dealing with something like this, but you've got to have a cabinet that cares more about the country than they do about the president in order to trigger Section 4 of the 25th Amendment.
Well, no, but I mean, let's just face it. I mean, our poor country wasn't designed for political parties in mind. That's readily apparent. You know what I'm saying? Goodness.
Well, yeah, Trump is exposing every flaw in the constitutional system of governance that Madison and Hamilton didn't get catch before the vote was taken.
No, I mean, just, yeah, but I mean, we're looking at, I mean, what was, wasn't it George Washington who was quite prescient about his fear of factions because they would collude with a foreign government?
Oh, Washington, Hamilton, and Madison, all three.
You know what I mean? It's just like, what the hell? But at any rate, I think the Republicans, they're like so awful. I can't believe how awful they are. I mean, That idiot Nunez or the Latino who don't want to pretend that he's not Latino, that guy, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, he pronounces his name in some weird kind of way. It's like, nigga, come on. But at any rate.
Yeah, there's one. We all know there's one of them little squiggly things over that second N in your name. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's just, you know, and he's from California. So
I'm like. Well, if we're going to be shallow, though, Sandra. Have you seen, it came out in the last couple of days, have you seen his high school portrait, his senior
yes.
class picture?
Ooh, God, he is rocking it.
The
okay?
Mr. Mullet.
The mullet is like, I'm just like, good Lord. Yeah, I saw that. That was precious. Super precious.
But
yeah, well, anyway.
That district doesn't have any, I mean, you hope somebody pops up between now and January 2018, but I had a report from somebody who lives in that district who said, nah, they're thrilled with him. They love him to death.
Oh, yeah, no. You know, that's probably the case. I mean, but it's just, you know, I think Daryl Issa, though, I think his days are numbered because it's not so much him, his district. The demographics have changed big time in that district, so I think he might be looking at a defeat, and that would be great.
Well, that would be a pelt to put on the wall, no doubt about it.
And the other dumbass, I mean, this guy is so fucking stupid, Kevin McCarthy.
Oh, please, yes.
He's an idiot. So I think he's out of Kern County. I'm sure they love him there too, you know, but. I just think that the Democratic Party here, they need to really make an effort to get rid of all those Republican Congress people.
Well, it would certainly be nice. It would be a good start. And you know, you don't have to beat that many of them, but to beat any of them, you got to beat Citizens United along the way, Sandra. And I mean, that's just
yeah,
a reality.
Yeah, well, no, that has been such a complete disaster for us regular folks. It's because, for example, the idea that this asshole has, you know, $10 to $17 million has been spent to put this ass on the court? I mean, and people don't see that as just completely outrageous and untenable.
Well, did you catch what Chuck Grassley said about the money today?
What did he say?
Well, I mean, people keep talking about the money, but I don't care where it comes from. People have a right to spend their money on politics. This is America.
Yeah, but we don't even get to know who it is, though. Is that America? That don't sound like America.
Well, I mean, but it is to them. So, you know, let's...
No, but I mean, but, you know, but it... Yeah, but for citizens sitting out listening to that, I don't know how that... People go, oh, yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's great. Really? Ugh.
I know. And it's... The sad thing is, do you see it? Do you see... And I'm looking for help here, Sandra. Do you see a way forward? I mean, it's great to see the Senate growing a spine in among the Democrats. But, I mean, is there anything between now and the 2020 presidential elections? You know, when Hillary runs again?
No, that's not. Is that like a? That's a joke, right?
No, I'm on record as predicting it.
She's too damn, well, I guess not. I mean, ain't she 67 now? I mean...
That's the whole thing. She will be, in 2020, the same age Bernie was last year.
And she's a woman, too, so... Yeah, hopefully not. I don't, you know, I mean, I like Hillary, okay, but I think it's time for something else, and not... Cuomo, not that fascist either.
So. Oh no! What about Kirsten Gillibrand?
Well, no, I really like her because she, you know, a bit of a badass.
Well, and she's positioned herself. She's opposed every one of his goddamn nominees.
Everybody. Yeah, I like her, and she's not 1,000 years old. So yeah, that could work.
She seems the most viable one of the lot so far. But how much national exposure has she gotten? Not a bunch. Okay. Are you there, Sandra?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. No, Skype does this weird thing to me where it just rings people off and rings them back in. Has Gillibrand got enough national exposure, do you think? I mean, or...
Well, she does have... Well, she, you know, first of all, I mean, yeah, New York platform, that's one positive. But I do think that she's known because of her push for that whole military stuff. That was like all the sex crimes in the military. I know she made a name for herself in that regard, but... Yeah, I don't know how well known she is.
Are you and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, although I guess I am. Are you? I mean, I know there's that wing out there. It's got to be Elizabeth Warren or nobody.
No, I mean Elizabeth Warren is okay, but she's also 1,002, ain't she?
Well up in her 60s.
Yeah, I'm not too sure who else. I mean, I've seen, Gillibrand bantied about. I mean, Jerry Brown thinks he's going to live forever, so that motherfucker might pop up. No, I'm joking, because he's older than my mother. He's like 78, so I don't think so.
I thought he was actually 80, so...
I think he is 78, but no, not that I don't... I mean, he's been pretty funny in his last few appearances, you know, so
yeah, the fracking thing seems to have upset a lot of people.
Well, yeah, he said he's so weird with some of it, and also, you know, he's not that great with around poverty issues too. So a lot of people would be glad to see the back of him. The guy who's running, I guess, Gavin Newsom, is like sort of central casting politician, but
yeah.
He has some, I mean, he's very Schumer-like in regards to everywhere there's a camera, there's Gavin, but he's pretty progressive.
Yeah, who will eventually replace DiFi? She's got to be a glory call out there somewhere for her.
I don't understand. I heard that she was going to run again, and I'm like, what, bitch? Go away.
No, she's going for the Bird record, Sandra.
That's what I think. Yeah, she wants to be, you know, just some old in her dotage. And it's like, no, sit down. We don't got time. You know, you had a long-ass career after killing Harvey Milk and Moscone. I mean, I'm sorry. After, you know, her standing around after Moscone was killed. And so she, you know, has made a big career out of that moment she had.
Is Kamala Harris working out for you?
Yeah, I like Kamala, but, you know, we'll see, you know, what's with her. I mean, you know, she didn't take on that Treasury Secretary when she had the chance here, and that's a bit of a issue for me. Because they could have really done something about him when he was foreclosing on people here in California, and they didn't follow through with it for whatever reason.
Oh, Mnuchin, yeah.
Yeah, Mnuchin, yeah. But she's, you know, she seems to be making the right noises. I mean, obviously she's not participating in this BS with Gorsuch, right? So.
Yeah, she's getting that right. So, well,
yeah.
you know the old curse, may you live in interesting times.
Yeah, but you're right though. I don't really know who's on the horizon for the Dems.
Well, it'll begin to, I don't know, it seems like somebody would be out to, I mean, it's great that Bernie's doing what he's doing. But where's the next step? Where's the next person to, you know, to pick that mantle up? Because you kind of hate to not. I mean, it's great if you've got a shooting guard who can put down, you know, 43 points a night, but you know you're one bad ankle away from screwed. Who comes off the bench?
Mm. No, it's true. I mean, there has to be some, you know, the millennials, aren't they coming of age? So, I mean, we need, you know, they need to take their place. And they really do, because the baby boomers have left them a real shit show with the climate. And, you know, there's some really big issues.
Yeah, since you and I live on the cusp of the baby boom versus Generation X, I've decided I'm early. I've decided I'm early Gen X. I'm no longer boom.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to try to take my, because we're only a year. You know, if we were like 65, we would be in the next one, right?
Right. Oh, 64.
64. Oh, okay. So it is really. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to remove myself also because they.
Well, welcome to Generation X, Sandra.
Yeah, because them motherfuckers really did mess things up for people. God damn. Anyway, listen, I know you need to move on, and, you know, I got to go.
Yeah, I got to knock down here and put things together to do sit in for Malloy here in an hour.
All right, okay. Well, good luck with all that.
All right, thanks, Sandra. It's always great to hear from you. Later.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye. Calling from Southern California, the one and only Sandra. Love hearing from Sandra. Lots of great notes. I'd love to share them with you, but I've got to take this hour to retool everything and turn everything around and get ready to fire up the Malloy campfire. Just a couple of things. James pointing out, I've talked with Gavin Newsom, no cameras. He's the real deal. Sure as hell hope so. Yeah, he kind of, a long time ago, he kind of looked presidential. Yeah, with opioids, James also points out, you know, it's now the doctor's license on the line, so good luck. David in South Carolina points out, I guess they could grow poppies and make opiates from them. The South did this during the Civil War. It's in the Ken Burns documentary. Note coming from Smitty. Sure is a treat to have Sandra back. She's so intelligent and knowledgeable. Must be a joy for you. You have a wonderful audience, and I just love your podcast and hope you're feeling better. Had a couple of halfway decent days, so thank you very kindly, Smitty. Thank you very much indeed. All right, so out of here. We will begin the program tomorrow with a fundraising goal of $397, or whatever it comes down to, thanks to our merry band of subscribers. Thank you very, very much, everybody. Have a wonderful evening until I fire it up again at 9, because I'll be sending it out on the horn stream as well. So see you then, okay? Later, y'all. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Back in a few.